Week 2, Day 1, and our scripture reading is Job chapters 1 through 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answers the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to his face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down your servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job did not sin or charge God with any wrong. Chapter 2. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. And then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from their own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. Chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said, 'A man is conceived,' let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. That night, let thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful cry enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of its dawn be dark. Let it hope for light but have none, nor see the eyelids of the morning. Because it did not shut the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth, come out of the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For then I would have laid down and been quiet. I would have slept, then I would have been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, who build ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden, a stillborn child, as infants who never see the light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners are at ease together. They hear not the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death but it comes not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes." Satan afflicts Job by Grant and Gillian Crary. The book of Job is about a man who is very righteous and ultimately was exalted by God to an even greater degree. Many people want to get from the beginning to the end without having to go through the middle. The middle is an essential part of our character development, and Job's middle was very rough indeed. It all began when Satan came before the Lord, having been walking across the earth. God asked if he had seen Job, who he described as none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. This is a remarkable description, an extremely high commendation coming from God. Satan's retort was to complain that there was a hedge around Job, so that he, Satan, could not attack him. And if the hedge was removed, Job would curse God. Often God puts a hedge around us, too, to protect us in certain circumstances. So God removed the hedge around Job's possession, and in quick succession, Satan arranged for his adult children to be killed and his livestock stolen or killed. This was a complete disaster for Job, and we see his grief in Job chapter 1, verse 20, where he tore his clothes and shaved his head. But look at what else this wonderful man did. He worshipped God, and he blessed the name of God. Job was a man with a perspective on life that transcended his days on earth. He understood what was truly important, namely his relationship with God and the values that are eternal, not temporal. However, Job's trial became worse. Satan provoked God to allow him to attack his health. We should notice, though, that in both cases where Satan was allowed to attack Job, his scope was limited. Firstly, God told Satan that he could take Job's possessions, but not touch his person. Then Satan was allowed to attack Job's person, but not take his life. We must always be assured that God does not relinquish control. Satan can and does accomplish much on the earth, but in the end his scope is limited. Satan struck Job with boils all over his body, and we see they affected Job to such a degree that he wished that he had died at childbirth, in Job chapter 3, verse 11. So the question becomes, if God is a good God and promises to love and care for us, what can we learn from Job? Is his trial a contradiction of how God is portrayed in the rest of the Bible? We'll have to read on to find the answer. Questions. 1. When have you found yourself in a middle season, one filled with pain, uncertainty, or loss? How did that season shape your character or faith? 2. Job worshiped God even in deep grief. What would it look like for you to worship God honestly in the middle of a hardship? What holds you back from doing so? 3. How does knowing that Satan's power is limited and God remains in control, even in suffering, affect the way you trust God today? 4. Dear Lord, help me to focus my life on eternal values and not be consumed with the things of this life.